She was a good looking woman, though. Jack.
Who were you talking about? I feel like I'm just coming in on the middle of a conversation with you two.
The woman on Jack's shoulder there.
Oh, yeah, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Jack, actually, it's uncanny. Speaking of uncanny, I actually liked your Hulk Hogan video more than the Titanic one. Because that one actually was like, wow, that actually...
Well, Eckhart made a good point. He goes, how come Jack looks like the Cowardly Lion in all these videos? I go, I can't argue with that. Before I go on, though, I got these because I was having terrible heartburn.
Yeah?
So my wife goes, you eat a lot of pretzels. Maybe it's the pretzels. So I tried these gluten-free things, and usually gluten-free. And Maggie Magnificent is a gluten. She has gluten, what's it called?
Celiacs.
Yes. So she has to eat gluten-free food. I was like, oh, God, it's like all, everything gluten-free is like cardboard. So I tried these Snyder's pretzels. Now, those are if you're going to get Snyder's pretzels from Hanover, Pennsylvania, those are the best pretzels. But the gluten-free ones are pretty good. So there you go. And it wasn't the pretzel causing the problem. So I think my gallbladder's going. So what are you going to do?
Oh, is that alcohol. A gallbladder thing?
I think alcohol. So, yeah. Because I notice when I drink more, because I haven't drank all week.
Sure.
I've had no issues, but today I'm drinking, so.
I see.
There you go. But no, so Snyder's Hanover of Hanover. I've been to Hanover. Gluten-free.
Germany?
No. I've never been to Germany. Well, not in this life.
Hanover.
Only when you died back in World War II? In your previous life?
Yeah, it sucked. Picked the wrong side. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, like, so.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, that's me.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. One of the things I did like about Wyoming, though, is that it felt
Gretchen's
like.
Fire, I just.
is that, you know, in California and even here, because it's such a beer town, that, you know, beer is pretty expensive. But, you know, you're going to pay, you know, $8 a pint, most likely.
Is Coors expensive there?
Coors?
I don't really drink Coors.
Well, it's from, I know, but it's from Colorado.
From Golden, yeah. The thing about Fort Collins is that we have 32 or 33 breweries here, so most likely you're going to be drinking one of their beers. Whereas in Coors is, you know, down around Denver. But actually, I was actually, because you know, most time when you're outside of Colorado, all you see is Coors Light. Oh, it's, you get a nice, am I forgetting his name? Jackson Pollock up there.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, cause, but like you can actually find the Coors Banquet here pretty easily, which I was like, oh, because you really see the original much anywhere. But anyway, so I was up in Wyoming and it reminded me of being back in Tennessee because I was sitting there at the bar drinking alcohol.
With a mask?
With a mask, yeah. But I was drinking pints, and they were only like $3 a pint. So I probably went about at least 10 pints deep. I was like, yeah.
Did you go there by yourself? Just made a road trip?
I always make road trips myself. I just find it more enjoyable that way because you pull over when you want to, you know, you eat when you want to, do whatever you want. Kind of like Forrest Gump.
So was it planned? You just said, fuck it, I'm going away.
I mean, I always kind of have some itinerary that I'm working on always of like, okay, if I go west, what am I going to do? If I go north, what am I going to do? Like, you know, and we really kind of were dead a little bit at work last week. So boss was like, well, Nick, you got lots of PTO you haven't used. So if you want to take off. And so I just took Friday off and then drove up to Little Bighorn first.
I have a question for you. Why would they send the most popular person, most friendliest person? Why would you want them out of the office?
Well, we're not in the office. I haven't been in the office since March 8th.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Sorry. Go ahead.
But we didn't have much to do. So I was like, all right, well, in my mind, I was like, I was going to go South Dakota because in November, I was going to do Mount Rushmore and a lot of things in that area, the Badlands. But we got 13 inches of snow and I got stuck, so I couldn't do it. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. I'll just finish that trip. I didn't get to start. And then I realized Sturgis was that, you know, this past weekend. So I was like, fuck that. I'm not going up there with all those people.
So, I would just make Rob Lowe look old, and that's not right.
I'm reading Chris's, yeah, like Gretchen's Fire. So I said, like, you know, let's go up to the Little Bighorn. And so it's something I always wanted to go see. And so I just drove straight up there. And then
where'd you stay?
I have a rooftop tent on my truck.
So you just
I just pull over wherever and just pop it up. As long as you like are in a legit kind of camping site area, not like a random Wendy's parking lot or something. But I looked up, there's an app called Dirt, DYRT. And it tells you every campsite in the country.
So and you just pay for the campsite.
Actually, most of them I don't even pay for the campsite. Really? Like, so a lot of them are free depending on what state you're in. So the Wyoming ones, there's some that you need to reserve, but a lot of times they're just free as long as you have the reservation. And so
yeah, there's a lot of space out there that it's just like, you know, it's really open to, you know.
Well, it's one of the things I like about the rooftop tent is that, so for everyone who doesn't know, it's a square thing like on the top of my truck that looks kind of like a luggage rack. And I stayed in Five Rivers, something out of Falls, something like that, on the first night. And there's only 10 spots there to actually camp, like where I actually set up a tent and all that. But I'd never worry about that. It's like, well, it's full, but there's always going to be parking spots for people to put their cars. So
they have like bathrooms and stuff.
Oh yeah, there's always, you know, at least one. And so I just
showers.
Most time there's no. I mean, I just don't shower if it's like a 2 or 3 day trip. It's like, I ain't worried about it.
I guess you're in Wyoming. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, no one's gonna be around me. I have they're basically like huge alcohol wipes. That if you really feel like you need something, you can just kind of do your pits and whatever, and you're good to go, and just wear a hat.
Well, how come you have this pop up thing? You said in the back, it's the back of your truck.
No, it's on top. I'll send you a picture, Jack. But basically, it's just like, you know, think of on top of a Yukon or something. You know, you have a rack up there, and it's basically just a big square, and you just undo the latches on the ends of it. It pops right up. It's got a canvas surrounding it, so it's just a tent. And so I just pulled up in the parking spot. Pop it up, put the ladder up.
Is that an air mattress or anything?
Yeah, it's got a 3-inch foam memory foam mattress in it. It's comfortable. It's got four holes on both sides, so you know wind gets in pretty good. But the thing is, the first night I camped in Bighorn Mountains, and that's at 9,200 feet, which I did not know going up there. So when I pulled up, it was 52 degrees, and
wow. And
God knows how cold it got at night, because I had my flannel sheets in there, and I had my thick ass wool blanket on top of me, and it still was like a little chilly because it easily got probably down to the 20s.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it's fun trip.
This time of year down to the 20s. That sucks.
Well, you're up in the mountains. I mean,
I get it.
I didn't expect that, but I mean, I'm always prepared, you know, Boy Scout. But,
well, how many people from California come there with shorts?
Oh,
holy
gosh.
Fuck, it's cold.
Well, unless you're from fucking LA, you know, like you should
I'm saying Southern California, you wouldn't know.
But, you know, the thing about Southern California, especially you get around the mountains at part, you know, you have so many microclimates, you have to be prepared there too. Because, you know, the difference between San Bernardino and Big Bear Lake is huge, even though it's only a few miles distance.
Well, I talked about that when I used to live in San Diego. We lived in Santee, California. A lot of people call it Clanty, California. But anyway, so you would drive in where they filmed Top Gun, Miramar. There was these, like, not mountains, whatever. But when you got past those, the temperature would drop like 15 degrees. It was like okay, it's 90. You go like another half mile, it's 75 degrees. And the same, it just always cracked me up that it was that way. But anyway, go ahead.
No.
But no, that's what I want to do. When I keep telling Cindy, I go, when you retire, we're done watching these damn grandkids. We're done.
Yeah,
we're done. And then,
I would recommend what I do with your back, Jack. You wouldn't sleep at all.
No. No, I don't sleep now.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's perfect for me because, you know, it's just I just pull up wherever and
our plan is to get a motorhome,
right,
and drive it cross country. See the world. I've never been to Wyoming. I've never been to Montana.
I mean, you know, even though we gave Wyoming some shit on the other podcast.
Well, that was Chris.
But Wyoming, I mean, it was kind of fitting. It's like it's absolutely like a Rob Lowe movie that no one's seen. It's no one goes, but it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, the eastern part of Wyoming is nothing. You're not missing anything. It's just flat and windy as hell. But you know, it definitely has some spots that are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to.
Matt has lost it.
I would like to see. I've been to a lot of states, but I'd like to see. Like, Randy mentioned that Hanover is close to Gettysburg, which it is. But of course, Pennsylvania. I've been there because I was born there. But no, I'd like to see the rest of the. I wanted to see Deadwood before I die, and I want to see a lot of other places.
Well, like I said, Deadwood you can knock out in a day. You know.
It's, yeah. I just want to say I was there.
Cody, the town I went to, I found much more entertaining, and I was only there for basically half a day than Deadwood, because Cody was named after Buffalo Bill Cody, the showman, and there's a ungodly museum there called like the Museum of the West.
Oh, really?
And you have one wing that's dedicated to every single kind of gun ever made. You have another one to Buffalo Bill himself. You have one to Plains Indians. You have one for art, and then one for natural history. And it's like you spend the whole day just alone in that museum. Then the main strip of Cody is like an old west town, like just tons of shops and one strip. And then there's another place that I lucked up and found that my dad, when they come to visit, we're going to go up to Cody again, do it. They have every single kind of gun that you can shoot.
Really?
I walked in, and this guy looks at me because I was looking for the actual museum. And he goes, like, hey, yeah, can you tell me where the museum is? He's like, oh, yeah, it's down this way, whatever. And he goes, where are you? Because at first he's like, are you ready to have some fun? He goes, I just set up the Gatling gun. And I kind of.
Oh, a Gatling gun.
I went, what? He goes, yeah, because we have the Gatling gun set up there in the shooting range. And I kind of, are you serious? Yeah, the old crank, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like. And then he goes, yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry. I must be in the wrong spot. I was like, looking for the museum. He's like, oh, yeah, it's down that way. He goes, but. And I was like, but he goes, you've already tweaked my interest, dude. I was like, what's this place about? And he was pointing everything. And they had Tommy guns, everything, any kind of gun you could imagine, all the way down to the old flintlocks. You know, any kind of gun you want to fire, you can fire it there. And I was like, this is just something that would be fun to do.
I've never fired a gun, but I got to tell you right now, if someone offered me to shoot a Gatling gun.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I would do it. Just because.
Look at this Karen right here and the screen that I have right there. See, look at this Karen face right there. Like, that's just like, oh my gosh.
Because any Western you're in, they go, he's got a Gatling gun?
Right.
I mean, the fear of people, because, you know, it's like, you can't beat a Gatling gun because you can't go against a Gatling gun.
And that's what they say about Custer. You know, Custer probably would have lived if he'd have waited one day, you know, because that's.
Well, he was arrogant.
He was arrogant, yeah. But, like, that's the next day is when the reinforcements with the Gatling guns would have showed up. But, you know, instead he went against, what, 2,000 pissed-off Indians.
But historians like to say that.
Okay. But I will say this.
Sure.
He still would have died.
Probably.
Would Custer be remembered?
No.
If he hadn't died a little bit, Little Bighorn.
Right. No, he probably wouldn't have. But it was.
Yeah, that's why we all know his name. It's like on MASH. They go, it's like what Hawkeye said. He goes, you know, it's like they told Custer, one last stand, you can go home.
It was actually interesting being there.
I'll talk to you later, Matt.
On Last Stand Hill.
I got it. It's just not funny.
Damn. That's the meanest thing
I've
said in a while.
No. Wow, man. it's from Alan Alda, MASH.
Yeah.
One
last stand, you can go home. I mean, it's
perhaps it was just
Custer's last stand
delivery.
I don't know. I don't think so. I thought it was spot on.
Anyhow,
go ahead, Matt and Nick.
But it was interesting standing on top of Last Stand Hill. It really was the best strategic place for Custer to be, because you have a 360 panoramic view of everything, and you are on the high ground, even though it's not much of a high ground, but you can see how where 220 men could actually hold their ground for a long time against such a massive amount of opposite forces. I was like,
I know you guys haven't seen a lot of the Twilight Zone episodes. I meant to say this in the regular podcast, but did you ever see the Twilight Zone episode where the modern military somehow gets trapped following Custard's last stand.
No.
It's Warren Oates and some other actors, and they have a tank. And it's funny is that and they leave the tank because there's three guys and the military's squadrons looking for him. They can't find him. But then when they get to the names, it has all the people who died at Custer's last stand. Their names are on it.
Oh,
snap.
Because they go, we got to help him out. We got it. We have to go do it. And it's just one of those Twilight Zone episodes. You guys got to go back and watch the original Twilight Zone.
It's kind of like that. What 80, 81 movie, The Final Countdown with Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they go to Pearl Harbor. That's it.
Right. Interesting. But it's one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes. Hmm. It's just fascinating because you go, yeah, but why not stay in the tank? Arrows aren't going to pierce the tank.
Well, they had rifles.
Yeah, I know. But even that, the bullets are not going to pierce the tank.
That's true.
Nothing's going to stop that damn tank. But it's Warren Oates, and you know him, Stripes, and countless Gunsmoke and Big Valley episodes. And Blue Thunder. Who's in Blue Thunder?
I don't know.
You guys remember Blue Thunder? No. You guys never saw Blue Thunder, the helicopter movie?
No.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Blue Thunder. Hell yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the predecessor to what was the TV show.
Yeah, Airwolf. Airwolf. Yeah, Blue Thunder was not Robert Shaw. Who's the Brody? Brody. What's his name? Schneider. The guy that played Brody is in that movie, along with that British guy.
Yeah, you know. Brody, British guy, boob guy.
Rob Schneider. Come on, Randy. Someone in the chat help me out here. But anyway, it's a great. It also has the guy that was a narrator for The Wonder Years.
Oh,
he was the one of the bad guys in Home Alone. The tall, skinny.
Oh yeah, guy. Yeah. That's right. I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Speaking of,
but Blue Thunder is a great.
I at night I've been working or whatever and doing computer work, and I've my working show, because sometimes like there's shows that you just want to pay attention to.
Daniel Stern, sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other shows where you're just like, okay, I'm gonna put this on and I got shit to do. So It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I've been doing kind of a watch because at some point, and I can't remember, you know, and I've caught certain episodes. So
we talked about this, yeah.
Yeah, so I just never know when we talk about this.
What's aired or what's on air? Yeah, what's off air?
No. Roy Schreider. That's it. Roy Schreider.
It's a dream. But anyway, in my rewatch, though, there's a Charlie kind of Home Alone thing where he sets up all of these traps. But he's the one that ends up setting them off, and it relates to the Super Bowl and when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, right. Yes. That was a great episode. Yeah. And he keeps doing it because, like, all the pain, he starts to, like,
yeah.
We'll win if all this happens, you know. And
the players appear to him like a force thing, you know, and they're like, right. Hey, everything every fan does at home matters and counts,
right?
You know, right. And so he has to put his like foot back in the bear trap,
yeah. God, yeah.
He's like, same leg, and they're like, yeah, same leg.
So. we've all done that, as me as a long suffering Colts fan.
Mm-hmm. How well is it done for you?
There were times we'd be watching the Charger games as a family, and we'd be screaming on like third down and long. And we're like, going, we all realize this is not work. It's, they can't hear us, but we did it anyway.
Yeah.
And fuck Spanos because he fucked everything up. But now I'm a Colts fan. I can't wait if there is a season. I mean, I don't know how you guys think, will there be an NFL season? I don't know how, but
I don't know how. So I think it's just basically how do we get from point A to point B, and at what point do the schools close down again? Because
Are schools open?
Our schools here have opened up. Our schools start back at the beginning of August.
So your kids are actually having to go into classrooms.
Yes. So our kids just officially went back this week. My son went on Monday, Tuesday. So today's Tuesday. So yeah, they've had two full days. my daughter's only going 2 days a week, and then she's 3 days on online, which I like because she gets some socialization.
Yeah,
and it's splitting up the students, and they're doing it in groups like that. Where in, on Wednesdays, it's actually closed down to the students, and they can kind of clean everything, do a deep clean. So I like that setup. For him, though, he goes 5 days a week, and he's just under, I think, a lot of the stress of everything, like having to ride the bus. There's really no easy way for me to pick him up. I mean, I have work, and this is a busy time for me, so I don't have the luxury of just, hey, let me pick you up.
Busy school. Time for you, but bad for the Dolphins.
bad for the Dolphins, yeah.
That joke never gets old.
It doesn't. It will never die. Much like my love for Dolphins. Anyway, so far so good. My daughter is coming with me to work, which, you know, I like having them around. They've always been around me. So it's still kind of up in the air. Like, he wants to go. My son wants to go, but we've left it up to him. Like, hey, you have
to go to school.
He does. Yeah. I mean, we've left. I mean, it's a hard thing, like, to decide as a parent and as a teacher. Like,
do they have masks and do they have the chairs?
They do. They have masks. They wear they have mask breaks.
The problem is, you know, these kids aren't washing their hands and stuff like that.
Well, and they have hand sanitizer stations and all of these things. So, however, the recess, they're still implementing this thing with recess, and all of these kids want to do is just have just an ounce of socialization. They have to basically like sit there the entire time during their recess. Like, that's not a recess. So,
it's tough. It's
to be able to walk outside. It's like, I could see him choosing to come home and to be at home. And we've said, hey, like, if that's what you want to do, buddy, like, you know, like, this is still an option. Now, up to a point, like then after so long that he has to finish out the semester that way. But at what point do they just switch him to being online? Because,
right,
you know,
I think they should pick, be honest with you, I think they should pick one and just stick with it, because the going back and forth is too confusing for the kids. And it's too hard on the teachers, too. You have, you know, okay, we're going to start with the kids in the classroom. Oh, fuck, people are getting sick. Let's go back online, and they're not prepared for it. I think all the classes should have been online. And I get the whole social, because I know we had Zach last week and he got upset. I actually went to the COVID pool on Friday with him and our granddaughter. And he was having a tough time because we had to leave after certain times. They have all this. They don't have any. They don't have the chairs out for anybody. You have to bring your own chair, and they have the spaces, but it wasn't crowded. But after 2 hours, they closed the pool. Now, what we used to take him last year, we were there for 4 or 5 hours. So I finally explained to him. I go, "All right, Zach. Last year, I go, did you go to school last year? He goes, or did you have it on computer? He goes, I went to school. So all these different things. I go, you've seen the baseball games. Are there anybody at the games? He goes, no. I go, that's why the pool is. I go, the pool, because he's an exceptionally smart kid. I go, the pool is closed because they have to clean it. Now, whether they're cleaning it or not, I don't know. I don't stay around. Well, I don't think they are. But, you know, it's just one. I said, that's just the way it is now because you have a pandemic. You can't go to restaurants. You can't do this. You can't do that. There's just certain things you can't do. And it's tough on these kids because, you know, Zach is only six. And like you said, your son is young and your daughter's young. These are uncharted territories. And it's just,
yeah,
it's tough on these kids. And you're like, we can't even get adults to you know, to cooperate. So,
anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm moving towards going back to teaching on next week. So, and my class is divided into two sections of 11. So I have 11 students on Monday, 11 students on Wednesday.
So we have nude models?
No, models are, and so is portrait work. Although I'm going to have them do portrait work at home. But it's a little, you know, I mean, there's just certain things where you're like, okay, well, we can't talk about this. We can't do this. Or
still lifes.
Yeah, but still lifes get so boring. So you try to
Are you actually going to have students come to class?
Are you doing that online?
So there'll be, so my Monday students that I meet with, I'll basically be able to give them kind of a lesson. I'll give them an opportunity to work there in class with the masks on, what have you. Our class is basically 2 hours. So, and
2 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's gives you enough honest time, like for a session, because, you know, to get set up, to get drawing and your mindset onto that. And then you take a break somewhere in the middle, then you come back to it, you kind of finish up your drawing. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not just like wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Jack, I mean, what are you thinking?
Thank you, Gretchen.
I'm thinking this class is 2 hours, is too long.
All right, well.
But I know NC State, what they're doing is, because you had the problem we talked about earlier, UNC is having their issues. NC State, what they do is they have a class, and then they don't have a class. They clean, they just disinfect, mm-hmm. they spray everything, the bathrooms, everything. Then they have another class. So far, it's working. But like you said, UNC, that was someone went to kids went to a party. And 190 kids so far now are infected, because that's the problem. It's just going to keep going on and on and on until people say, okay, we have to stop having fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, which, again, I mean, it would have been nice if we, as a society, could have ripped this Band-Aid off when it started. But here we are.
We're Americans. We don't do that.
Right. Sure. Keep telling yourself that, Jack.
Am I wrong?
Well, I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. I'm just saying that, like, just where we are now, it's just kind of like, okay, well, again, it's like we're either going to have to pull ourselves up through this muck, you know, or we're just going to have to keep repeating it, which it's kind of like.
I saw a video today where a lady was freaking out because the park security guard closed the park. They had and she took scissors out and cut the yellow ribbon out. She goes, I pay for this. Where'd you come from? And the guy's like, whoa, what? And so another security guard came over and he goes, ma'am, you got to leave. She goes, okay. But she kept saying, I pay for this. We pay for this. It needs to be open. She wanted, it was like a playground park. She wanted it open. And they're like, no, ma'am, it's closed. But she's had scissors and she's just crazy.
Wow. Well, I just hope that, everything kind of goes smoothly. I have no idea. I mean, it's at this point, I would be ready to go online, and I would just move some of my stuff online. So and then I would just make.
Well, how do you teach a class when you're so busy at work? How do you do that?
Well, I carve out time for the teaching. So there's certain days in which I don't work, but because this is such a busy time, and I have a lot of orders that actually also go to the school. It's there's a lot of supply ordering too that goes on. It's like, oh shit, we're out of like so many of these, you know, pencils, or we need more portfolios because all of these people are buying these kits. Well, I have no idea how many they're going to buy. And then I get other schools that are all of a sudden like, oh, hey, they're selling these kits. I'm going to buy those. And I'm like, oh fuck, now I got to order more of this shit. And so at some point the orders are just kind of slamming me today where I'm just like, bing, bing, bing. And I was like, screw it. Just got onto my supplier's website. And I ordered shit because I'm like, I'm going to need this. So, well, but yeah, it's just kind of a whirlwind. And then
earlier we were talking about the NFL, and you have some, like Oakland said, we're not going to have any fans. We're not going to let anybody into the stadium. And not Oakland, I'm sorry. The Vegas Raiders. But Jerry Jones said, we're not going to limit anybody.
Yeah.
They're just going to let 100,000 people into that damn stadium. And Texas is one of the worst places, right?
Yeah.
So we're just going to let 100,000 people in there because – and then people are saying, thanks for giving us as adults a choice to let us make our own choice. Like Kansas City, I think, most places are saying, okay, we're going to limit to like 15-20% fans in there. Like you'll have to be like
– right.
I would just watch the damn game. I mean, I like going to the games.
Yeah.
When I had a team, you know, my Colts are my team now, but
I would. I mean, honestly, like as a sports fan, if this is what it took to say, okay, this is your section, this is how much, you know, this costs or whatever. We're still going to broadcast the game, but this is your section, you know, or this is, we're going to space everybody out. You know, this is what the tickets cost. Don't make the tickets exorbitant.
Right. Well, they should be the same price, to be honest with you.
But you could at least have fans in, and for the fact that you have season ticket holders, you know, or people that have already prepaid, then, you know, do some kind of lottery or pick or make the people happy, and then broadcast it. And you could even have suites where, I mean, the suites have got to be isolated. So as long as people are,
those for the rich people.
Well, okay. This group has to come in between this hour and this hour. I mean, that's kind of how we went to the zoo, which was probably one of the more public things that we did as a family. And it was interesting because it was like, yeah, there's a time that everybody comes in and they won't allow any more people in until more people leave. So that way they're always keeping that amount. And
what about the animals? They have the same restrictions.
Yeah. The animals were about the same, but the buildings going in to see the animals, though, it was nice because some of the buildings, whenever you go to the zoo, they're just always just crowded. So it was like the first time we were like, oh, this is actually lovely. I can look up at all of the fish. And I don't have like 30 people all screaming. Like it's like, it's actually kind of nice. And I don't know. I mean, it's like if we can still keep some things open without actually having to go to the extreme, that's where we're at.
I don't know. Scary times. Why is Nick laughing?
I don't know. Maybe he's crying. He's crying to himself.
Oh, Sherry, you just need to know my sick mind. of Matt going to the zoo and where my brain went, why he would go to the zoo and things that he was looking at and infection rates. And
Matt does not think that's funny. He's like all the people here in Youngblood. They don't think it's funny, Matt. Yeah. I thought it was funny. I laughed.
Yeah, exactly, Matt.
Anyway, like I said, I hope the NFL goes off, but I don't see it. I just don't. I mean, but I thought baseball would be canceled by now too.
Yeah. Who was it? It was for the Phillies. There was a good video that got released today of the Philly game of I think it was the left fielder who every ball that got hit out to him, he would throw it to a fan in the stands. You know, it was all the cardboard cutouts. He'd be like, you know, he'd actually go through the motion of like, hey, you want it? You want it? And then like toss it up to the cardboard.
I personally, if I was a pitcher and came off the mound, I'd do this. I would tip my cat to the card. Cause where is it? You know, but I guess they're having fun with it, but it's just like today I was watching the Padre Ranger game. My God, did they really pump in the fan noise. It's like every foul ball. Wah! It was like going, okay, it's a foul ball. Not even the fans would be cheering that loud. Anyway.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys about some things. Like, I think it's kind of an individual choice. I would go with what you guys are saying. Like, so if I'm going to a Bronco game, let's say the NFL goes and, like, we're going to a Bronco game. Like, you're right. Like, if you're a season ticket holder and you've already paid, honor that price that you paid, but it should be like just only certain sections, certain seats, that's it. And everyone else who didn't have that luxury should be charged more. And the excess should be played to the players almost as like a hazard pay or something. That's how I was, because you know, you're kind of like saying like, hey, we're trying to keep you healthy, but we're also showing you this is a privilege that you are buying to come see this game because you can stay home if you want. You know, it's your choice.
What do you do? Because you have season ticket. I mean, the Chargers obviously don't have this problem because they only have so many season ticket holders. Right. But what about these teams that have 60,000 season ticket holders? They're not going to let them all in the game.
No.
Do you get like what is like a rotation thing? Okay. You can go to this game. That's your option. If you choose not to, then.
Well, if it was me, I'd just be like, if I was an owner, I'd say, like, hey, like, to, you know, would you defer this payment to next season? You know,
a lot of teams are doing that.
That's what I would do. And then like, but if you want to continue, then it'll be like, let's say you're paying $2,000 a year, you know, for your season tickets. Now it's going to be $2,500, you know, if you want to attend the home games, you know, because like it's a high risk time, and if you want to be here, we're happy to have you, but you're going to pay for that privilege to be here, you know.
But other than the Cowboys, every team has said like 10 to 20% will be allowed to the stadium. So yeah, if you have 60,000 season ticket holders, excuse me, I got hiccups. What do you do? Where you were, okay.
Great movie there, Matt.
What movie, Jack?
He doesn't know. He didn't make it that far.
I didn't make it that far, no. I guess there's a blooper in Star Wars A New Hope.
There's a couple of them, actually.
Well, I mean, but there's a big – I'm going to have play one tomorrow, but there's a big one, I guess, where Uncle Owen comes back and Luke is out – looking for the droids, and he's actually in the window.
Hi, Luke.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, I guess Luke is actually in one of the windows, but he's not even at their house.
Oh,
at the time.
I mean, there's a lot of funny things about, like, you know, the one that they digitally removed it though, but you know, the original cut, you know, you see the stormtrooper hit his head on the ceiling.
I'll be playing that tomorrow.
And then I always love when Luke is out, you know, and you see Uncle Owen just going, Luke, and then just gives up. He just yells like twice in the same spot, and then it's like, that damn nephew of mine.
Oh, he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The one I was looking for today was the one, it was John Travolta's film, Michael.
Uh-huh.
And most bloopers, if you look at Cars, when they do the shot from the outside of the car, the mirror is gone. But when it's in the rearview mirror, but when they do the shot from the inside of the car, the mirror is always there. There's a clip in that where they're driving down the station wagon, and you, outside, no mirror, but inside, you see they're looking in the rearview mirror, and you see John Travolta in the back of the car. So it's going back and forth, mirror, no mirror. So anytime if you really want to look for bloopers, anytime there's a car scene, look for the rearview mirror. It's either not there, it won't be there when they're 99% of the time when they're filming inside, outside, but when they're inside, the mirror will be there.
What I like about going back to old movies is things that when you watch them as a kid, you don't pick up on things, and then as you're an adult, you pick up on so much because the humor was written for an adult.
Right.
And just because the John Travolta, I didn't think of it, it's like there's a scene in the drive-in in Greece where, you know, he's trying to get fresh with Sandy. You know, and then, of course, she gets offended and she hops out, you know. And
well, because it's Olivia and John, you don't get fresh with her.
Yeah, no, ever. Yeah, exactly. And then, but like she gets out, she slams the door on him, and then all of a sudden he's in pain. As a kid, you never understand why he's in pain. It's because he had a fucking erection and she slammed the door on his dick. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
you're the one I want, not today.
Then she made Xanadu and her career went to shit. So
Xanadu,
great soundtrack, shit movie.
Xanadu, bum bum bum.
Now we are here.
Yeah, I think I saw some of that movie.
Yeah.
She was good in Grease, though.
Good in Grease.
They had great chemistry of Travolta and Olivia and John.
She did. Like, you know, I always liked reading the theories about movies, you know, like the fact that she died, you know, like she drowns in the beginning of the movie because that's how they meet, you know, and like everything that happens from that point on is her brain like firing, trying to stay alive. And that's why at the end, the car flies off into the skies because she's actually going to heaven or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, dying. I was like, oh, that's
Sandy is dead.
Sandy's dead. Yeah. Like all of it. None of that really happened.
There's a scene where they're on the guys are on the bleachers singing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you see the one guy who's closest to the rail, literally looks to the rail, make sure he's not going to fall over. he like this. He goes, down. He goes, okay, I'm good. I go, wow, they left that in.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, like that scene, that song in particular, today could never be made because like there's a lot of lines in it. It's like, you know, like, Tell me more. Like, did she put up a fight? So it's basically like, did you tried to rape her? You
know? Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like it's.
But it was the 50s.
It's the 50s. Right? Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but yeah, like you said, that song wouldn't fly today. It's a pull topic. That's the one. How many did she have? Two?
I don't know many. That's just that. That's the only two I know, really. Is
Xanadu and Grease. She wasn't in the second because Michelle Pfeiffer was in the second one.
Yeah. And that's kind of an underrated film, too. I like the second. I only haven't seen it as a kid, but I remember.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's not bad.
It's not bad. You kind of got
it. Yeah, young Michelle Pfeiffer, so.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to use that one. Well, it's too late now, Chris. You should have suggested that in the other chat. Man, got to be quick. Oh, Matt went to the bathroom. You're wondering where he went. He put it in the private chat.
So that his background image, Jack, is from Joe vs. Volcano.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I got it. Yeah. Fuck that movie. Oh, just say Joe vs. Volcano. I hate that movie. Anyway. Yeah, I should probably watch it again. It's probably been 25 years since it came out.
I mean, it's definitely got some bad parts to it, but I think overall it's a pretty good film. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, it's like one of those guilty pleasure films. Like, I'll watch it if it's on, but I would never own that movie.
It's like, I've told this story before, but it's like Harry and the Hendersons.
I like Harry and the Hendersons, yeah.
Now, when my wife and I were first dating, Jay was, maybe one or he was sick. He was in the, and the, my mother-in-law said, I want to watch Harry and the Hendersons. So they put the DVD on. Not DVD. They put the tape on. I'm like, Harry and the Hendersons. And everyone falls asleep. I'm the only one awake.
That's a good movie.
And I'm like going, so I watched that. So it always became a joke. Fucking Harry and the Hendersons. Worst movie ever as a joke. Well, I said that on the Lost podcast one time as a joke. And the granddaughter of the guy who wrote it was one of our listeners. She goes, Jack, you've always been my favorite. But after you said that, my grandfather, okay, let me explain the whole thing. I go, I like the movie. I go, the fact that I had to tell the whole story. I go, so it's an inside joke. Worst movie ever. So I can't, and she goes, oh, okay. I didn't know there was an, I go, yeah, it's an, it, trust me, it's an inside joke. I like the movie. It's a good movie. So
yeah, the two actors I really miss is John Lithgow and Gene Hackman. Like, both of them basically have.
Well, John Lithgow's still acting.
Is he still? I haven't seen him in forever. I know he's doing stage things.
But he's in the TV show Perry Mason.
Oh, okay, I haven't seen him in so long.
He played Churchill in which was funny because Churchill wasn't a big guy, but Lithgow's 6'4".
I was about to say, like, they totally different body types.
You but know? You know what? He pulls it off. I mean, you know that he's like, there's no way he's Churchill's like 5-something, right? 5'6", 5'7". And Lithgow's 6'4", and I'm like, but I forget what show was it? Someone help me out here. British show. No, it wasn't Downton Abbey. It was the what's the one with the
Doctor Who?
Was it The Crown? Queen Elizabeth story.
Yeah, that would make sense.
The Crown.
Yeah. So anyway, and he pulls it. You're like going, there's no way, but he pulls it off. Because he's a great, fantastic. And Gene Hackman, I think he's done.
He's been retired for a while, yeah.
He's like 80-something years old. He's, he didn't start acting until he's like in his 30s.
Mm-hmm. Who is it? There's some director or actor. I think it was an actor. I was reading a story not too long ago about it was Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller, when they were making Rushmore. Not Rushmore. Royal Tenenbaums. They're making the Royal Tenenbaums together. Gene Hackman's in it. And apparently Ben Stiller loves the film The Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
And he said, of course, being still a fairly young actor at the time, he goes, I was really intimidated by Gene Hackman because it's Gene Hackman, and I guess I didn't really speak to him other than like when we were working. He goes, and finally, like towards the end of the film, he was sitting down and I walked up to him. I said, hey, I was like, I know you probably don't think much of it. He goes, but I really love The Poseidon Adventure, it really
it's a great movie.
But Gene Hackman basically looked at him and said, oh, the paycheck movie. And then they walked off. Because if you look at what he was doing at the time.
French Connection.
You have all these really big movies. And then he made that one in between. And it's like, And so he clearly didn't think much of it, you know, but
it's, so, it's, well, I guess for him, it's not, but for me, I love the movie. Hmm. Now, not the second one.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Not with the fake Matthew McConaughey, but no, this, the first one is great.
Oh, Matt's doing that. Yeah.
Matt's doing the,
yeah, the Images of Poseidon Adventure. Yeah, like I think I've seen it 4 times, you know.
I've probably seen it countless numbers of times.
Well, it's one of those, if I see it on, I'll watch it, but like,
yeah,
you know, I don't consciously look for it, you know, on Hulu or something.
I rented it once and watched it on the plane. Because it was, I was trying to get an old movie that I know I like. But no, I like the, again, I get you don't go from the French Connection to Poseidon Adventure.
It really leaves people wet. So,
a little bit.
Well, it's,
or at least
I won't go there.
Wanting to get wet. So,
preacher, you killed my Linda. You killed my Linda. That's my Ernest Borgnine impression. You killed Linda.
So what is going to be the fake poll title? Just so I know. Robin Williams movies? Is that what we're going with?
That's Robin Williams
movies. Yeah, I wrote it down. I thought I was doing it.
All right. I just wanted to be clear.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so I wrote down best Robin Williams movies, Wayne's World, The Outsiders, St. Elmo's Fire, Youngbloods, Gretchen, and I could have gone with Tommy Boy.
I feel like it's like, if people don't really look at it, they might be like, oh, yeah, wait, was he in that?
No, I would have the 5. I'd have Gretchen as the 5th one.
Yeah.
And just leave it at that. I wouldn't put Tommy Boy on there, but.
Okay.
That shows your hand.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wait, was he in Wayne's World? Was he in a cameo?
Oh, he was great in Gretchen.
Yeah, he was.
That one.
That was the movie where he saw his whole life, like, as a cinema movie, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's where he played Popeye. It was first entitled Popeye, then they changed it to
Gretchen. Robin Williams movies, best Robin Williams movies would be a good one to do, though.
Yeah, his documentary's coming out here soon about his life.
Yeah, it's funny, though. I love Robin Williams, as most people do, but it's interesting to read about, like, true movies he did, like Good Morning Vietnam, and how like the family hated that film because like it was nothing like the true person, you know, and
the guy he was doing.
Yeah, because like he did it 3 times in his career, like actually portrayed real people, and he never, you know, he was just Robin Williams. He never really attempted to be the character, you know, and so it would piss people off because like he would just kind of hijack the film to make it funny for him.
But that was the first movie I think that he did that was popular because it was Robin fucking Williams.
It was just
this guy going, because he was a fucking genius. I mean, you watch him on any talk, and you sit there and go, how can anybody be that fucking quick? How can anybody be thinking do like that over and over, and it'd be change characters, change direction. I was watching him on the Graham Norton show, just from an old one. And just like, Jesus, how's he coming up with this stuff? So it's this. He's never at a loss for words. And that's what, because I think he did Popeye, right? And he did, what was it? He did a movie. It was more of like a dramedy type thing.
So on the patrons, we do worst Robin Williams movie.
Yeah. And there's plenty of those.
I mean, just imagine how many people think we're quick-witted.
Well, I'm sorry.
Cocaine.
It's called drugs. He was a genius.
I mean, there's cocaine. I would almost think that, but it's the fact that he did it after his coke use.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he. So
there's one stand-up he does. It's somewhere in the 90s. Where you can literally he's just his entire shirt is completely soaked in sweat because he's so just off the hook crazy and just going through bottles of water, and it's just like he has got to be on something. You know he's on something.
Well, I know it was Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal when they did the comic relief. They said, they go, man, and they're both funny people. They said there were times we couldn't keep up with them. We didn't know what, you know. what was going. I mean, you never knew what direction he was going to go. And a lot of actors say the same thing, too. He would get off script and start, and you're like going. But then he would do movies like The Dead Poets Society.
Right.
I mean, how does he contain himself
mm-hmm.
in that movie? How does he just, because he was a great actor. I mean, I guess he went to Juilliard, yeah. right?
Well, it's like that scene, if you read it, about like in Good Will Hunting, where it's him and Matt Damon on the couch, you know, where he's actually giving him, and he's talking about his ex-wife who's passed away in the film. And during that scene, he farted. And that's why they're dying laughing. Matt Damon and him, like almost crying laughing, is because the fart is so bad that they're laughing about that. Yeah.
So. But he's just one of those. He was one of those guys that were just once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost like, yeah, like why aren't we doing a Robin Williams best of?
So you can do it next week.
That's true.
Sure.
That's hard.
Well, I picked Good Morning Vietnam, I think. Well, I don't know.
Because like, there's different sides of Robin Williams, you know.
Patch Adams.
It's not like Patch Adams. Actually, it's almost a forgotten film now. But I like
Patch Adams.
Yeah, but that's the other one I was talking about. Like, whereas people say it's not realistic to the true Patch Adams, you know.
Yeah.
And
but people felt the same way about Aladdin. And his genie.
Sure.
I know he was up for the part of the Joker, but they gave it to Jack Nicholson. And he goes,
oh.
If Jack wants it, Jack gets whatever he wants.
That's what, like, if you look at Jack's 80s output, though, he kind of needed that film. He had basically since The Shining, you look at everything in the 80s, he didn't have any hits until Batman. So right. It was almost at the other end of the decade.
Sure. It would be interesting, though, had Burton kept on with that, like some of the things that they could have done or would have, what they were planning on doing, or, you know, like, I mean, if you could get Robin Williams and even the early 90s, like, to do the Riddler, you know.
So. Yeah, I think he would have been a better Riddler. Yeah.
I always thought, I go, why did they take the Riddler with him?
Yeah.
I always thought that, I go, that's a no-brainer.
Well, they were setting the whole thing where Billy Dee Williams was Harvey Dent. He was going to become Two-Face.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because he was in the first.
Yeah.
So well, he was in the first Batman, you know, with Michael Keaton.
Did I send you that, Matt? I should have. Or it was a picture of Billy Dee Williams. It's a picture of Billy Dee Williams, Porkins, and shit. His name.
I don't know who shit is.
No, his friend in The New Hope that dies in the Death Star run.
Dies.
Not Wedge, but the other one.
Oh, yeah, Biggs.
Biggs. It's a picture of Biggs, Porkins, and Lando. It's like, name the film they're all three in. And it's Batman from 89.
Oh, okay. Because you're like, oh, yeah, like that would be. Huh.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. But it's like you don't think about it because, I mean, you forget that Porkins is actually Eckhart, the cop who the Joker shoots.
Hmm.
He's still a fat guy.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah, I like the there's a Rick and Morty from this last season where the opening kind of reminds me of like the Joker falling into a vat of acid kind of thing. I think it's called the Vat of Acid episode or whatever.
That's funny.
It is hilarious if you ever watch Rick and Morty.
No, but someone falling in some acid, that's great.
My sister
just know that, yeah.
Man, my sister watched
it. It's a really awesome idea. So.
I believe it.
Birds of Prey came on HBO this weekend, and my sister finally watched it and called me. She's like, did you watch that movie? I was like, I saw it in theaters. She's like, that movie's shit. I was like, yeah, it's pretty bad. The Harley Quinn movie.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think I ever saw it.
It's, yeah, well, I mean, you know, they made the Suicide Squad, you know, which was horrible. And then right. Harley Quinn kind of had some potential, I thought, you know, and there's some scenes in it that are good, but the plot is just bad. I mean, you got Ewan McGregor. You got a good cast. You got Ewan McGregor and and she does a great Harley Quinn. It's just it's not there. But we'll see, because I know James Gunn's doing another Suicide Squad film, so like hopefully it'll be good.
Why don't some movies make it? You just gotta.
It's just, I mean, a lot. It comes down to just a few things sometimes, you know, casting, just how it executes. Because like, there's definitely roles where, you know, the director or the producer wanted, like, went all in for a certain actor, and the actor was like, no, I don't want to do this film. And then who they end up getting, you're like, I can't imagine someone doing that role other than that one person. It's
right.
Just, it's kind of like we talked about, like, with Tom Selleck, you know, being Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Indiana Jones, yeah.
Yeah, he could have done it. He probably would have been a good Indiana Jones, but that's Harrison Ford's role. Like, you just can't imagine it now without it being Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. But I think it would have worked with Tom Selleck.
Maybe. I mean, I love, you know, I really wish he would have made another Quigley movie. I love the Quigley Down Under film.
Yeah. But,
there was definitely some potential to do that. Yeah, like Johnny Depp is that wasn't really supposed to be Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow, or maybe she's, so Kayla, everyone out there is
listening. Oh, it's supposed to be Amber Heard, right? It's too soon?
Too soon. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at Ewan McGregor's movie discography. I was going down that rabbit hole. So he's a interesting actor.
I was watching something today on YouTube. It was the Goodfellas. They had a reunion, and also the Godfather, and some of the people in the Godfather thought it was going to be terrible at first. And then they shot a scene out of order, and I can't remember the scene, but it's like, it was such a great, the scene where Michael kills.
Yeah. That's the first scene they shot.
Yeah. Well, they shot a couple things, and then they went and shot. Then they shot, started shooting out of order, because they're like going, this movie's going to be terrible. It's going to be a bad movie. And then they shot that scene. It was such an intense scene.
Right. Well, because I think Al Pacino has said that was the – he didn't quite understand the character yet. And that's the first scene that the reason why he's sweating so bad is because he's so nervous, really, in that scene, because he didn't know what was gonna, like, how to do it,
right?
And there's a lot of things. Like, I love the next
one, and also it was the 70s. like people in their makeup in the 70s, and it's just like,
well, they didn't sweat. They didn't want Al Pacino at first for The Godfather.
Right. I mean, like Dog Day Afternoon, which he did right after that. Like, yeah.
Love Dog Day Afternoon.
Like that film too, as well. Like he said, like he kind of. You know, he had the character right then, and like, and then so they did reshoots like a few months later, and he just couldn't get back into the character again. So they had to go with what was originally shot. But because a lot of that stuff was just one take, like pure emotion. You know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you guys tend to be like a Pacino versus De Niro guy? Like, are you like one or the other?
Mike would be. Would argue with me strenuously about this, but I like
Pacino. Red Mike would argue about something?
Yeah, never. I like Pacino more than De Niro. I think De Niro has his moments, but
it depends on their movie.
It depends on the movie. Like, I don't think either one of them have had a hit in a long, long time, and they definitely had some things, but
they're
dating. Meet the Parents with De Niro, probably.
Yeah, Meet the Parents was probably his last good
thing. I think they did talk because it was Matt Lauer doing the interview. But he asked, he goes, was there a rivalry between you two? He goes, no, we were friends. He goes, we were up for the same parts a lot of times.
Yeah.
And we go back and forth. He goes, but no, he goes, we didn't hate each other. It was just, there was no rivalry. But like, it's funny you bring that up. Who would you pick? It's a tough choice because.
Right.
You look at The Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic movie. It's just like, then you have Dog Day Afternoon or the one where he's the lawyer.
It'd be hilarious to
you're
to,
out of order. You're out of order. And Justice for All.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It'd be hilarious from just a parallel universe kind of standpoint to see like all of these movies that we know as Pacino and De Niro and just flip all of them. Like you'd be watching like Godfather and you're like, wait, what? Who's... which one?
I bet Chris has never seen any of them.
I thought he had seen The Godfather.
I think everyone has seen The Godfather. I mean, you should. No, if you haven't seen The Godfather by a certain age, then something's wrong with you.
So you're saying that Al Pacino would have played Vito Corleone in the second one if it's flip flop, because De Niro plays Vito Corleone, young Vito Corleone, in the first one, second one.
Right. Yeah. They would flip. So and then in Heat, you'd just be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Like watching Heat, like having them flipped around.
Because they asked him, they said, which one is, because he asked him, which one, because it was De Niro was there, Italia Schreier, Al Pacino, James Caan, and Robert De Niro. And they go, which one's best, one or two? And
he goes, well, you can't, to me.
That's what they said. It's two different movies. And then they go, and Robert Duvall goes, well, the third one was the worst.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, he was joking because he's not in it.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the same money that Al Pacino got, and they said no. But the third one is by far the worst. But he was making a joke because he's not in it. Because they said, because he said to James Caan, he goes, well, I guess you wouldn't really have an opinion on this one. He goes, no, I guess it's. Sherry says she hasn't seen the. She was giving me crap for not seeing. What?
Yeah, you should see the Godfather, Sherry.
No, time out. Time out. No, time. No. Let's stop the podcast right now. She was giving me.
It's kind of funny to do this to Jack right now. He is so pissed. Sherry, I did that for you.
Yeah, sure.
You may have the floor.
So Jack, she says,
I have seen one and a half of the Lord of the Rings. You've never seen The Godfather, and you're giving me crap for that? I'm telling you right now, The Godfather is 100 times better than Lord of the Rings. It's not even close.
If you're basing it on trilogies, though, I would say Lord of the Rings is a steady like 8.
Well, I'm not basing it on trilogies. Watch the first two and just stop.
Just saying, like, Lord of the Rings is like a solid 8 all the way through, whereas in like Godfather's like 10, 10, 10, and 2. Yeah, exactly. So,
but I'm sorry, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm done with this podcast.
Really?
Never coming back. I'm kidding, of course, but no. Come on. There's some rule. There's an internet rule that you don't do that. There's an unwritten rule. Whiny little bitch. How did you change my name title? I didn't know you could do that.
I thought he did that to me too. Like,
okay. I did.
I just saw that. Anyway, come on, Sherry. Come on now. Come on.
This is the best thing ever. Ah,
man, I've never seen The Godfather. I'm telling you right now, this weekend, sit down and watch The Godfather. You'll be like, oh, I get it now.
I'm with you, Kayla. I like the extended versions. So it's a lot deeper, richer. It's like, and if you're going to go,
the extended version is the only way to watch it. Like, yeah.
Well, they have the extended version of The Godfather too, but the movie's long enough. I guess so is Lord of the Rings, though, isn't it?
I was very interested about the Coppola. Wasn't there like a Coppola cut that they did for HBO where it's like just straight through, or is it like?
Well, there's different scenes you go, okay, because sometimes they cut it, and you're going to go, well, that makes more sense now that they did that, where they show you something that, you know, like, there's just different scenes where you're like going, oh, got it.
I'm probably wrong about this, but I think you're right, Matt, that there is a Coppola cut that was made for, like, TV, you know, so they can make it more of a part, like, you know, Monday night this, then Tuesday night this, instead of, like, just doing it as one film. They could break it up and have like little extended scenes and more stuff, but I'm probably wrong about that.
Yeah.
I've seen one and a half episodes. At least I've seen one and a half episodes.
Well, Jack, then you need to go the distance.
No. I'm sorry. Godfather. If you say you're a fan of movies, seriously, I'm being 100%. If you say you're a fan of movies and you haven't seen The Godfather, you're to the back of the class. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No.
Sherry, that is straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, you know what? There's a pandemic. You're not even allowed in the school. Am I right? Am I right, guys? The Godfather is must see viewing.
I mean, I think that yes.
If you're a fan of no CGI, yeah. Just straight storytelling and great acting.
I love The Godfather and I respect it, but as in what I don't think I would put it in my top 10.
Don't say it, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just one.
Both are in my top five.
It's one of those films. I think it's because it's such a chore to watch, even though it's a good film. It's kind of like Rosebud, Citizen Kane. Like Citizen Kane is a movie I'm not going to voluntarily watch.
I almost made this comparison.
Yeah,
like you took the words right out of my mind here. I was going to say it's like Citizen Kane, the fact that you know it's like this thing, and you're going to watch it. But I would say that it's more enjoyable in some ways than Citizen Kane in the fact
that absolutely. Yeah.
You could put it on in the and be listening to it, and you're like, oh, this is the part where, like, you know, this car explodes, or oh, this is the part where, you know,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
No!
So
sorry, spoiler for people who haven't seen that.
But yeah, I mean, but like to me, like if someone, I mean, to me, like things like Casablanca are much more important to watch. And there's a lot of other films that I really.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy. I think it's I think I enjoy that movie more so than the guy. Like, if I'm gonna live in kind of like this romantic noir of the past or whatever, I don't know. I mean, it's like, do I really want to like see the? I don't know. Yeah, it's. I'm with you on that. I don't know if it makes into my top 10. So,
I was
like movies.
So. Godfather.
Yeah, the only movie Godfather. I think from that whole era that I really think is overrated is Close Encounters.
I've only seen that once.
I mean, I like Close Encounters, but I don't. I just don't see it as a classic, you know, as in like other Spielberg films. It's just like,
it's no Youngblood.
So to me, I think it's more about like the experience of watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, mm-hmm. and how that like affected me as a kid, you know, mm-hmm. like just those, that image of like the boy and the farm and like the lights. I mean, like seeing that as a kid, you know, being probably just, I don't know, 3 years older than the kid that's depicted there. And then you're watching that and you're like, what is this about? Like, and
is that what the aliens look like? Sheep?
Well, they look like the, kind of the grays, essentially, like long, skinny grays.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess as a more
Giacometti sculpture, a Giacometti sculpture, and mixed it with a gray. Mm-hmm. Like what we think of grays, that's what you would have. So,
you know, as the older I get, like I think I've seen Close Encounters probably 6-7 times in my life, and the more I watch it, the more I think Richard Dreyfuss character is a complete asshole, because it's like
totally
he's totally. Usually an asshole. And all you look back, he's an asshole in almost everything he does.
That's true, but like it's because it's like, you know,
what about Bob? Asshole.
Yeah, true. Red's asshole. Yeah.
Jaws. He's kind of an asshole in Jaws.
He's an entitled prick, yeah. And then when he gets his picture in National Geographic. And then even Mr. Hollis Opus, he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Even though he was on an episode of Big Valley where he played a kid. He was a dick in that one, too.
Well, I just meant, like, I mean for, like, because like, you think about, like,
oh, he's a dick.
I understand that the aliens, you know, implanted or give him, like, this vision and this drive to make them go to this spot. But it's like he basically ignores his family the entire film and then just fucking leaves them. Spoiler alert. You know, he's like, wow.
Because he's a dick.
Because he's a dick. You're like, wow. Who? No one leaves.
Was it Annie Hall that he was? Was it Diane Keaton comes in and he's kind of a dick in that one too? Is it Annie Hall I'm thinking of?
I don't think so.
I don't like the panties on the.
Okay. I've only seen that one once. Yeah. Dicks everywhere.
I'm telling you, I think we should talk about that next week. Is Richard
Dreyfuss? I never really, like, I'm with you on this, Nick, like totally 100%, because even as a kid and through repeat viewings, I never was just like, oh, wow, Richard Dreyfuss is the hero of Close Encounters. It's just like, no, that's just a movie that you experience. And Spielberg does this, I think, with like in that kind of way where he's just like, he wants you to experience something, or, you know, like, I don't know. I even think of like War of the Worlds as like this journey that you, like, he forces you to go on with this movie.
E.T.
So E.T. not so much. Cause I feel like that's like, there's, but anyway,
true fact. They wanted Richard Dreyfuss to play E.T., but he was too much of a dick, and they wanted E.T. to be likable.
No kidding. I'm just saying, like, Richard Dreyfuss, even Awakening. Is it Awakenings? The one where he's a pilot?
No, oh, yeah, he's a dick in that one, too, isn't he?
Always.
He is. And it's like,
yeah. I like Always, but yeah, that's a.
We just discovered that. Let's see.
That's an underrated Spielberg film.
I like Always.
Yeah, I like Always.
But
he's not too much of a dick. I mean, he's a dick in the fact that he's supposed to be a dick because he's a selfish asshole, and that's why he dies. But then the rest of the film, it's got a humbling experience for him.
He's a dick in What About Bob, too.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I said that earlier. He's a terrible dick.
Yeah. I'm with you on this. I think Always is the closest you can get to a redeemable Richard Dreyfuss, and maybe Mr. Holland's Opus, right?
Mm. But that's not till the end, but yeah.
Well, that's true. Never mind. I take that back. Basically, that's it. So,
well, he's in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Misfit Toys in 2001. I don't even remember that. I'm sure he was a dick in that one. He's probably Santa Claus in that one because Santa Claus is a dick.
Don't even get him started.
Night Falls of the Manhattan. Oh, James and the Giant Peach. He was a voice.
If we keep going with this show,
she's probably a dick in that one too. But like with one where he's the one where they're cops, him and Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, he's a dick in that one too.
What is the name of that movie?
Buddy System.
We cracked something wide open, and Jack, if you use this on your show,
yeah, you can't do it. Copyright.
I was gonna say, is Richard Dreyfuss a dick?
Here and in this movie, Stakeout.
That's the name of the film.
Stakeout. Yeah, he was a dick in Stakeout too.
He's okay. It's more like, what is the most redeemable non-dick Dreyfuss movie?
There isn't one. He's just a. I used to like him until we did this podcast.
I say Always and probably because you kind of feel for him at the end of the cop one. I don't know.
No. Not when you're a dick through the whole movie. No.
No.
Sorry, Richard Dreyfuss. I don't like you anymore.
On that note, we should end this show before this show becomes longer than our actual.
I was going to say, I think it is longer than our.
It's already after 12. I got kid. I only have one kid tomorrow. Only one kid the rest of the week.
I mean, you're not even getting paid for any of this shit, are you, Jack?
I get paid in hugs.
Because
you gotta start psychologically scarring these kids, Jack. I'm telling you.
I'm doing that. Don't worry.
Like Colleen was talking about how Zach's going through that. I hate you. And I don't like you. Period. And
oh yeah, he is.
I was like, oh my god. I was like, I would love that. I'd be to the point where I'd just be like, ignore the kid for hours upon hours. Like, I thought you didn't like me. just be fucking with the whole time.
Today, Heather, Cindy was giving our youngest grandson some medicine. I said, I should be doing this because you're terrible at this. But she said, oh, shit.
Sorry.
And Ava was standing right there, and she goes, oh, shit. She couldn't quite say shit. I go, you got to watch what you say around her now because she mimics everything.
I just thought of my favorite Richard Dreyfuss movie because it's the one that not a lot of people know. It's called Let It Ride. The one where he's the gambler on the horse track.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I like that one. That's one of my favorite Richard Dreyfuss.
But he's probably a dick in it, though, right?
He's a bit of a dick, yeah.
You have your casting agent go, okay, we need an asshole to play this movie. Richard Dreyfuss.
I don't doubt that he didn't expose himself to some people in his youth at some point. So
you know why? Because he's an asshole.
I know, and we would not put it past
him. Wait. You got to pick one or the other. Is he an asshole or is he a dick? There's a totally difference.
True. I'm going to go with he's a dick.
He's a dick.
Yeah. It's in his name.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Dick Dreyfuss.
Really wish that we had not ended this show on such a sour note. if you can pick the lint out of your teeth or whatever you need to do there.
And next week, only people who have seen The Godfather can be in the bonus part.
No. Sherry is
always she's a patron, and she's a loyal listener and a fan of at least two of the three of us here tonight.
I don't care. I'm better.
And we appreciate
it. I'm going to be Richard. I'm the new Richard Dreyfuss.
We've always known you to be that. So why change? So, and as Kayla says, so many dicks, so little time. And on that note,
dang, orgy.
It was great having everybody join us for the bonus. Really appreciate everybody for hanging
around. You can't act frozen, Jack, if you're going to blink.
Okay, I'll be Robert, because I noticed in the opening scene, did I tell you the opening scene of Robert when they're doing the poker and he calls him out for cheating and good.
Are you making a sentence yet? You're just like bumbling words.
No, I'm saying in the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, in the opening scene where he goes, yeah, you're cheating, he goes, draw, you have Robert Redford goes, I wasn't cheating. He never blinks.
Huh.
That whole scene, he never blinks. He just sits there like this. He has to ask us to stay. You know the part.
Who wrote that? Where somebody's talking about my mom? Where did I say that one? Like, oh, yeah, talking about my mom. You don't talk about my mom.
I really have to clean up some cat shit. So I'll
that would have been that. If we named this episode, I think that would have been it.
You know, stop bragging, Matt, about all the good things you get to do.
I have to clean up some cat shit.
No one likes a braggadocious.
I think the cat just took note of the podcasting, or at least whatever.
You know what I call cat shit?
Go take it. What?
You know what I call cat shit? I go, I got to clean up Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Can't say it all.
No. I've seen enough to know it's cat shit.
Yeah, well, apparently somebody's seen enough of St. Elmo's fire that he's like burning with desire. So
I can't wait for people to be going, what the fuck are these picks?
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for everyone who has seen Godfather.
Hasta luego. Goodbye.
Great show.